Welcome, everybody, to the X1 Bros. This is your positive gaming and Xbox community. I was actually just inside the Discord here. For those that don't know, we have a Discord. And Soulfinder, shout out to Soulfinder. He put together a bingo card. And the categories are hilarious. Shall I read through the categories here for our bingo card?
Yes.
I bet you most weeks we get a bingo. You would get a bingo here. PS5. Okay. The game is not terrible. X1, excited for an upcoming game? Probably. Game Pass, Nintendo Switch. Okay, that one probably would not be said.
Well, it might be said. It might be said this week.
Oh, okay, well, this week it might be said.
I finally pulled out my Switch, actually.
Oh, okay, so okay.
It's been not being used.
So. Okay. So we've got Shutdown. That one's probably iffy.
No, you shut us down every week.
Oh, it's not quote shutdown. So he means shutdown?
Like, I'm saying something and then you...
Hey, okay. Yeah. Okay. Mention of the spicy mullet.
Oh, I miss my mullet. Maybe I should redo that thing.
That's a good one.
It's capable. I have my long hair's back.
Bidet talk. The game sucks balls, quote. Quote, speaking of bitches... Underneath that, it's X1 says a four-letter swear word. Quote, I'm stupid. Xbox is in the middle because that's going to be the one everyone gets. Bias media. There is a special section at Walmart to buy that Nintendo strap. Mr. McSpicy. movies, show, book talk. Okay, yeah, that's probably going to happen. You have not lived until Percy comes down from the sky and kills you. Jordan says something Jordan would say.
Yeah. Jordan, is that you? Yeah, he's like reading like Chinese tweets or something.
Chinese. Yeah. What are you reading?
Yeah.
He's reading hentai. Fallout. That's not on your bingo card, is it? It's not on your bingo card. Fallout, but Halo. Ponies. It's a fun game. Positive gaming. Jordan the Bastard Tango. And I was just teabagging Jordan in Halo, Mr. McSpicy.
That's fantastic.
Oh, sorry.
I like Super Shockers. David spoils the show we all want to watch. And then he doesn't think it's spoiling.
That would be a good one. I stick with that. That was not spoiling.
It was, yeah. That's funny.
I feel like that was in the trailer. I feel like that was in the trailer. Anyways, welcome, guys, to another episode. It's been a big week. It's been a controversial week. If you're online, if you're not online, you're probably just enjoying life and playing games. If you're on Twitter specifically. So let's go over that real quick. And then also, guys,
Let's talk about this first.
Oh, you want to talk about this?
Yeah, let's talk about this first.
I needed a set of headphones and I'm playing upstairs. And so I bought, shall we zoom in here?
Yeah. I bought
the wireless Xbox headset. And now normally I've been wired this whole time with open back headphones for streaming purposes and absolutely love it. But now that I'm gaming mostly upstairs on my TV, on the couch, especially once everyone goes to bed, I needed a wireless set. And they range in prices, obviously, headsets from anywhere from, you know, $59 all the way up to $300. And the more research I did, the more like bang for your buck, like that nice happy medium. I didn't want to spend too much, but I also didn't want to get a crappy pair. I'm very impressed with this. $89. It's on sale. It's normally like $99. It was $89 on Amazon. It's comfortable. They're light. What I like about them is there's no dongle. A lot of the wireless ones need a dongle for the Xbox Series X.
But yeah, mine does need a dongle.
Yeah, now some of them don't, and they're also some of the more expensive ones. Mm-hmm. But like the Arctic Pros don't, and that I was debating on these or those. I'm sure the Arctic Pros are superior because I mean you get what you pay for. But I think this was a happy medium. I've been pleasantly surprised with this purchase. It corrects.
They feel good. I'll give them that.
Yeah,
they feel comfortable on your head.
Connects directly to your Xbox. Just press the button, same as you would a controller. On the right side, the right cup here, this whole thing moves, and that's your game volume / chat volume. And then on your left side is the mixer, how you mix them together.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And then the mic, you can actually turn off the mic, turn it on, and it just wraps up here. The mic, I think, is probably the weak spot, but
you sounded fine.
Yeah,
you know, so like it's not like the quality you're hearing now.
Yeah,
like on these mics, but I mean, you sounded fine.
Yeah. So Yeah, so these are the Xbox brand ones, and I've never owned an Xbox branded pair, but after doing all my research, a lot of people said, you know, for the money, it's probably like the best value buy. And I've been pleasantly surprised. I was unsure. I was honestly unsure. These are really nice. I've had really high-end ones.
You'll have to let me know through this week. So with the no dongle, I'm curious because mine has a dongle, and every once in a while, it'll connect, and I have to go unplug the dongle and plug it back in, and then it reconnects. I mean, it's not like every day, but probably maybe like once a week it does that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, so I'm not, curious. I've not had to do this yet, that yet to these. Spicy, I do want you to put these on.
You already did.
Turn on, hold down the green button to turn it on, like for like 3 seconds, and then listen. Watch it. It's pretty cool.
Hold down what green button?
On the left side. Turn into it.
Follow. I'll do it.
And it should be on. Let go.
It's the Xbox
sound. It's the Xbox turn on sound. Cool. In the headphones. It's pretty cool. So I like that. It's like a nice little touch from Xbox.
So it's like open back as well?
No, it's not open back.
I can hear, though. Oh, is it like noise cancellation? Where
it's not noise cancellation either. It's just closed is all.
But I can hear.
Well, yeah. I mean, closed headphones, you can still hear unless it's noise cancellation.
Not the ones I use. I swear it's like... like an audio, it's giving you the ability to hear around you.
Well, it's only $99. So it might just be...
Yeah. Might just suck.
Or you do have a hat. I mean, you do have a hat on, so it's probably like
overlap. You didn't get the full seal.
It's big enough for a full seal.
Yeah, so anyways, if you're in the market... And you don't want to spend a lot. I mean, if you want the high-end ones, you're going to have to spend a lot, obviously. Yeah. Jordan, you've got some pretty nice ones.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, the only downfall to mine is the dongle. It's probably about once a week I have to go unplug it from the Xbox and plug it back in because it just like...
So if I wasn't worried about my wife yelling at me for buying a high-end pair, I'd get the Arctis Pros. Mm-hmm. It's the 9X, and they're built, designed for Xbox because, same thing, they... connect directly to Xbox, but they're that high-end headset. But I mean, again, I really like these. Highly recommend if you're in the neighborhood. The other thing that I got this weekend, I actually called up Jordan. I was like, Jordan, I can't. I lost it. It was the weekend, and I'm playing games, and I'm like looking at new games that I want to play and games that are, it's, you know, May 4th. Everybody's talking about it. And I'm like, I got to play. I'm playing Star Wars, baby. Like, I'm in the mood now, and I don't have any room. And then I'm like, that's it. I call Jordan. Jordan, come with me to Best Buy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you went and got a...
And
I got
the same thing happened to me again that happened to you with that. So
Jordan's like, oh, it's $150.
Yeah,
like,
so I bought mine for $150.
This one's $120.
And it's the Western Digital one, which does come in a cool little case. So I bought mine for $150. But anyway, going back, Mark and I, there was a sale at Best Buy for monitors. So I went to Best Buy and I got a 28-inch 1440, 140 hertz, you know, like a good gaming monitor, right?
165
hertz, that's right. Good gaming monitor, LG, you know, and I really enjoy it. And I called Mark and I said, hey, I just got a new thing. I know you're looking for a screen. What about this one? And he looked it up. So we went back to Best Buy. And when we got there, there was a pile right next to the pile that I just bought of 32 inches for the same price, exactly the same price. And I'm like, well, wait a minute.
Not missing features? Like, same features?
No, literally the same thing. And exact same price. Like, they didn't add any price for the extra inches.
See, if you had gotten it from Costco, you could take it back.
Yeah, and I was like, well, that's stupid. So I go with David, and I go, oh, yeah, there's the one I bought right there. And he goes, well, what about the one right next to it? And I said, what? There was literally one right next to it that was $130.
It was the Seagate
I bought mine for $150.
It was $120.
It was the same size.
Actually, Jordan, it was $123.
Yeah, it was like...
1 terabyte. So $123.99. Plug that bad boy into the back of the Xbox. Handles everything. I spent all day downloading everything. That extra terabyte. The next generation of consoles, whatever they are, whether they're mobile or, you know, on the go, portable consoles, whether it's how it is now, all of them. I don't care who, Nintendo, well, Nintendo doesn't need it, but PlayStation, Xbox, it doesn't matter. 2 terabytes is the minimum because once you get up to that second terabyte, I have like...
There's breathing room.
I'm downloading 100 gig games and not even worrying about it. And you want to know what it does? It increases my gameplay. And here's why. Because last night, for instance, I sit down on the couch. Everyone's in bed. I'm like, what am I going to play today? I'm browsing like, ah, I don't want to. I'm really into Eudon Chronicles at the moment. Fantastic game again. But I'm like, I don't feel like playing that tonight. What do I want to play? I'm browsing. Oh, I have a variety now. Whereas before, it would be like, I got to download that game. I can't. Okay, I'm just going to go to bed. Nope, I had it. I played some Ghost Recon last night, Wildlands. Which, by the way, Jordan and Barbara Blake downloaded as well. Spicy. We're going to do Permadeath. We're going to do Permadeath Extreme Mode.
We're probably only going to play it like once, but we're doing Permadeath Extreme Mode.
I did it last night.
As a squad.
Yeah. As a squad. I did it last night on my own, and I died, so I lost my character.
And you permadied.
I permadied.
Yeah, shoot.
I made it mostly through there, but yeah, I agree. R51 Gaming, Wildland holds up so well. It really does. I was very impressed. I went through, I looked at all the reviews, and I was like, okay, which Ghost Recon do I get? But Wildlands, it is on Game Pass. So it's
Ghost Mode Permadeath. So everything is smarter.
No, wait. Ghost Mode Permadeath Extreme. Because then you can choose your difficulty, and we're going with the extreme difficulty.
So we're gonna have like a sniper. Okay, it's good to go, man. Yeah,
we've not yet decided.
We'll have a machine gunner.
We've not yet decided if we turn off our HUDs or not. Like,
I think we do. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going all the way. Yeah.
Lean into this.
We're going all the way. Okay. Yeah. So Spicy, right after the show, we need to download this.
Okay.
We downloaded it really fast with the new internet.
You got
the same speed, so you should be able to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Although the question for Spicy is, do you have the space?
Yeah.
We might have to.
We might have to go and get hard drive.
I'm good. I always keep an eye on my space. Like, I think I probably have 70%.
It's like watching your weight.
When I don't play a game, it's gone. Because I can just re-download it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah, because I have that storage, I don't have to worry about downloading games. I had games there. I was able, like, that's helpful, man. That's helpful.
And a terabyte with this. And it's not just like, this is like the expansion storage. So it's Xbox Series X and X optimized games can be loaded onto this drive and be played at that optimization.
Yeah.
So, because you can have a hard drive on the back and put games on there, but if they're Xbox Series X and it's not that specific expansion slot, then you can't reap the benefits of those.
Well, it'll go down to the Xbox One version of the game. Yeah.
So
some of them, though, won't even play. From your hard drive, from your external hard drive.
Because they require the new one. Yeah. So, but at what? So, like I said, I bought mine for $150 like a moron. At $120, I mean, that's a decent price.
$123.
Yeah. That's a decent price for a terabyte at that specific.
For that specific
hard drive.
I was finding it forever. I still think that's actually too expensive. I would say like right around the $99 mark is where that's the sweet spot.
But
it's totally been worth it.
I'm
very happy with my purchase. No buyer's remorse at all.
I think for that type of hard drive, because it's basically, it's basically an NVMe drive.
It's
directly connected into the motherboard, so it has a lane to this processor, lane, right? Yeah, like okay.
NVMe is like the socket thing.
Sorry.
How the tech works is it has like a direct line.
So for that specific hard drive. I mean, I know you just said you don't think. I mean, I think it's a better price point than what it was a few years ago. That's for sure. But
yeah,
I don't know. So if you're thinking, and you have an extra,
if you're thinking,
hundo,
yeah, it's
laying around,
highly,
and your wife's not home,
highly recommend.
Go buy it.
Yeah, go jump on it. It changed. Mm-hmm. It changed my life 100%. Let's go through and talk about some of the drama that happened this week over online. Pretty controversial. I've been called a shill now multiple times.
I called him a shill yesterday.
He did call me a shill yesterday.
Because we disagree on one point.
And wait, let me check. let me check the bingo card. Suck it, Jordan. There we go. Fill in that bingo card there. No, let's just go over it. So basically, for those of you, if you've not been paying attention, an internal email leaked from Matt Booty. Explaining that some studios were closed and some realignment was happening.
Four studios.
There. And one of those studios, I think where most of the controversy comes, is one of those studios that they closed was Tango Gameworks, mm-hmm. which does Evil Within, obviously, and it did the latest Hi-Fi Rush. And so instantly, of course, the Doomsday Xbox people were out in strength on Twitter. Basically, most of the entire gaming media industry, just ranting, raving. Xbox is done. Xbox is dead. This is ridiculous. It's greedy of Xbox. And in fairness, a lot of it stems from Tango Gameworks, because it is kind of a question mark as far as like, well, wait, I thought they were doing good, and I thought, you know, Hi-Fi Rush was a success. Don't we want more games like that? Haven't you said you wanted more games like that? And so there's obviously, because of how layoffs work, there's stuff that you cannot talk about. And so we've not got a lot of clarification from Xbox themselves. But Matt Booty did say in his email, two quotes here. This is prioritize. What we're doing is with these moves, what we're doing is prioritizing high impact titles and further investing in Bethesda's portfolio. He also says this is a reprioritization of titles and resources. So that's all we know at this point.
And it's important to keep in mind that this is all under Bethesda's umbrella, because that'll come into play later.
Yeah, it's all under Bethesda's umbrella. And if you follow me over on Twitter, you can see that I've been replying to a lot of people, particularly, you know, Xbox is dead, can't believe they're doing this. And my position has been, this is what happens with major acquisitions. And the minute that Bethesda was acquired, this consolidation was inevitable and is inevitable. And it doesn't mean that they're making dumb choices. It doesn't mean that they're making evil choices. There are things there that I think that we don't know. There are things there that I think that I have been a part of this, and it's not an easy decision by any means. I've been a part of it twice now, and it's...
When you say be a part of it, you mean like letting people go? Or
Yeah, just talking about, you know, reorganization and letting people go and what to do and how do we keep things going, et cetera, in my past jobs. And every single time, it's something that's well thought out, and there's reasoning behind it. But there's just a lot of freak out there, and I think a lot of gamers are just really passionate about games. I think it is unique to the gaming industry, though, because it doesn't exist really anywhere else. Nobody says, oh, Ford rearranged, I'm no longer, and cut back some divisions, I'm no longer buying a Ford, right? Like, that Ford is dead. They don't say that about any other tech space, Apple, Google, who, by the way, have both had major layoffs and realignment and restructures just in the past 18 months. It's happening in every industry at the moment. But in gaming, it is this unique passion that exists, this connectivity to your studios, I think, that doesn't exist elsewhere. Overall, I mean, it's sad for the development teams there, but I think... just taking Xbox at their word, that it was inevitable from the beginning. The consolidation of a major acquisition will always happen, particularly in current macroeconomic world events.
When you brought up a good point in one of your videos, actually, you talked about how Bethesda was looking to be bought way back when, and I mean, I think this would have happened no matter who bought them.
Yeah. So I've been saying that, and can I just lay this out, Spicy, before we go to you on the things? What's interesting
the
is
things.
The sorry, before we go to you on your opinions and thoughts on this, let me just lay this out. So Thomas Mahler is the CEO and creative director of Moon Game Studios. He's the designer director of Ori and the Blind Forest, Ori and Will of the Wisp, and No Rest for the Wicked. And he had this post that I think is important to go through. I'll just read, because what he says here, it just summarizes it so well. So he posted this yesterday before we heard, we had some more information, which now we have
today we have more information
as to why this happened. But this was yesterday, and he kind of lectures the media on this. And I did a video on this as well. And my posts since yesterday have been, guys, what are we doing? What is this freak out, this overreaction? It seems like we go from Microsoft's the best, look, they're absolutely crushing it, to Microsoft's the worst, and then back to, oh my goodness, Microsoft's the best, to, oh my gosh, they're the worst, and then PlayStation will do something, and it's just constant pendulum swing. It's very unhealthy, everybody. And it's just, if you go outside and you touch grass, you realize that Twitter is not reality, and that social media is not reality, and to take a step back, take a deep breath, and think at a second level instead of the first headline level. Like, ask why. And this is what Thomas Mahler, again, the head of No Rest for the Wicked, the CEO.
Blue Moon Studios, which is Ori and all that.
Yeah. So. Here's what he had to say. He says, I've been in the industry long enough now to have seen things unfold from both sides, and I'm honestly not a fan of the outrage culture we've created these days. And that I think that summarizes exactly what we've been seeing, I'd say, over the last 6 months. It's just this pendulum swing for all consoles and everybody in gaming. Hear me out for a second, he says. I know it's of little comfort for people who have lost their jobs today, but I think press, he's calling out the press specifically, I think press especially has to be very careful about how to write their articles, especially if they don't have good sources or just don't know exactly what's going on. And let's be frank, they usually don't. I don't have all the information, he continues, on what unfolded today regarding Microsoft shuttering studios. And while trashing publishers in your reports will absolutely generate clicks for you, it's entirely possible, and I'd say even very likely, that there have been inner dealings for a while that would reasonably explain this situation. He says, I've rarely seen decisions being made on that scale that just make absolutely no sense. It could very well be that Microsoft already had prior discussions with these studios, and decisions were made to shutter these studios in order to let them reform in a more efficient way, only to then make deals with these new ventures again. So he's saying it could very well be that the reason they made these decisions so they can go get lean, get cut, and Microsoft can continue business with them. Let's take Tango Gameworks, for example, he says. They just made the excellent Hi-Fi Rush, which everyone rightfully loved. And maybe the way to make more of this stuff is for that core team to form a new venture so that they can focus on making more of just that, but not within the likely bloated setup they had before. He says, I'm obviously just speculating and I don't have any inside information, but something like that seems entirely plausible to me. And if something like that is the case, is the way the press is dealing with this ideal? The news headlines right now are, oh my God, evil publisher destroys studio that made hit game out of pure greed. And that's absolutely correct. That's what all of the headlines are from all the journalist outlets or all the gaming outlets. While if my scenario is true, the headline closer to the truth could be, publisher made a smart business decision that lets studio make more of the product everyone loved within a more efficient setup. See the difference? Yes, the former will absolutely generate more clicks in the clickbait, oh my God, evil publisher, will absolutely generate more clicks for you. But if the latter is true, the former also makes you look like you're just feeding the outrage mob for your own personal gain. And look at it from the publisher's perspective. Almost done here. Everyone loved Hi-Fi Rush, and there's obviously great potential there. The talent behind Hi-Fi Rush could most likely create a similar title at a larger scale now, making an even better, more complex product. And I'm sure plenty of publishers out there would be interested in that offering because guess what? That could make them a lot of money. Do you all really just assume that Microsoft is completely dumb? Happy to burn bridges with talented developers that could then immediately make deals with the competition? I mean, it might be that that's the case, but usually these dealings happen on somewhat more sophisticated level. Real life is chess, not checkers, folks. Amen. That's the best. He is doing journalists' jobs for them. And that has been my point for the last 48 hours is just ask why. Like, just think two levels instead of journalists write the headlines, the salacious clickbait headline, and then they believe the headline, and then they project their own assumptions onto it. And the assumptions that they made here is, well, they're being fired because they took a risk, or they're letting go of these studios because these studios took a risk that Microsoft encouraged, and then they failed at this risk, and they didn't want to take this risk. That's not what they said at all. Like, that's an assumption. We don't know that that's the case at all. And in fact, come to find out, that isn't the case. ZeniMax Studios, the head of ZeniMax Studios, this is according to Bloomberg, Jason Schreier over at Bloomberg, and then GamesIndustry.biz is where I got the story from. But ZeniMax was basically spread way too thin and was on the verge of collapse. In fact, the quote from the CEO says, if we don't do something, we're going to topple. And that's why these moves were made to bolster up ZeniMax, at least as of right now.
And that's what we know. And that quote right there is why we believe no matter who bought them, these probably would have happened. because they were spread too thin.
Yeah, and that's why they were looking to sell. When he wrote this, he didn't know that. Yesterday when I was responding to everyone, I didn't know that. But it's like, guys, to immediately assume a bad intent and immediately assume ill will and immediately assume evil greed, capitalist MFers, is just incorrect. Like, let's and for the average person to do that, okay. But for gaming journalists and key opinion leaders to do that, I just think that's irresponsible, and I think we're in a bad place. Spicy, any thoughts? Anything you have on this?
I mean, I come from the perspective of I'm not on really any social media whatsoever. I have accounts; they've been dormant for years. I don't read reviews. Haven't read reviews on games for a long time. I don't do any of that. A lot of people that listen to the show know that about me. And the reason is because dramatic, I guess, drama clicks are what fuel ad revenue and fuel a lot of how these journalists work. And that's not how I like to get my information. I don't like being manipulated, and I don't like a lot of that. So I just cut the cord when it comes to that kind of stuff. It's really interesting. There was a whole lot of drama with Helldivers this last week as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, then before that, there was Battlestate Games. And then before that, it was
taking games from Xbox to PlayStation. Yeah. And then it was PlayStation taking games to PC.
And I know a lot of people that listen to the show are probably really plugged in. I don't know how unique I am when it comes to me not...
I think you represent your average gamer.
Yeah.
What's interesting is, I mean, I hear a lot of this stuff from you, David, and from you, Jordan, about the blow-ups and stuff like that.
Yeah, we like the drama. Yeah, Jordan and I like the drama.
We have a thread.
You thrive in it.
You text me your posts and stuff like that. It's really funny.
Did you see Battlestate? Those guys?
That was Tarkov was 2 weeks ago.
To be fair, I don't think anybody really did agree with that. That was a bad move.
Although, I will say, his response...
Oh, that
in
was
Discord.
The
That's
most
like a total Russian / Eastern European response of all Russian. Time.
The most Russian apology I've ever. Anyway.
Well, the Helldivers thing that happened a week or so ago. To recap, if you're not into that game or anything, basically the developers initiated you have to belong to the PlayStation Network in order to continue playing the game. And a lot of countries can't get access to the PlayStation Network that they sold the game to. So it started this whole pushback with a lot of the community, you know, review bombing and just being fed up. A lot of the content creators were dialing into this and, no, we're not playing the game, et cetera, et cetera. It was just this, it was an outrage of, you know, let's cut this game off. It's a great game. Let's just cut it off because they're doing a no-no and the community gathered and stuff like that. What's interesting is all this is going on, and I just go with Steam, you can actually see how many players are playing.
You can see the numbers, yeah.
You can see the numbers. There was literally no change.
No drop.
In game.
Because like, when you're busy spreading democracy, you don't got time to protest.
Yeah, I know. My point is, I feel like a lot of us aren't dialed into the social, the social network, the
matrix,
the outrage community. Can we call them the outrage community? Journalists are the outrage community.
I think they've really been exposed over the last, I'd say, 6 months to 6 to 12 months. Yeah,
but the numbers didn't even go down. People were saying, "I'm uninstalling. I'm never." Playing Helldivers again, et cetera. You know, it's the same thing with Xbox.
There was like a very, very small fluctuation.
It wasn't a fluctuation. If you look at this, the games, you know, you look not just at that week, but if you look over time, it's the exact same plateau like a game having its lifespan. Yeah, there was no real change. If you look not at that week, I mean, the small fluctuation, it gradually got lower, but if you look back, it was perfect to scale that it's a game over time just losing its life cycle. Which, by the way, the life cycle, I mean, that when you're still having 200,000 people play at one time, any given time on a weekday, that's a very, very healthy game. Anyway, so a lot of this outrage that Xbox is, I don't have a lot to add to you, David, because you said it, and that gentleman said it really, really well, too.
Thomas Muller. Respect to Thomas Muller.
That was
because he didn't have to do that. Well, he kind of went out on a limb there. He did not have to do that. He's not associated with Xbox in any way except for that. Obviously, they had a close relationship with Ori
and stuff. Yeah.
But they're independent, so he didn't have to go out on a limb, and he did. And I think he did well.
Like a lot of people, I will say losing your job sucks. Yeah. You ever watch this movie called...
You've been in that position. You've told the story before. Yeah.
And it sucks. I bought a house, my first house. We were, you know, it was just sweet. Me and my wife saved up. And then I bought a house a month later. I lost my job. And that's like one of the whole... And I'm only a year into my marriage. It sucks. It sucks. But I will tell you, that moment was one of the pivotal moments of my life to improve my life.
Yeah.
I could have stayed at a stagnant, just a job that just did not see my value. And it was a big deal for me to do that.
Yeah.
So I think these are always, it sucks. There's a movie, Margin Call. Have you ever seen that movie? It's fantastic. Never. It's about the recession in like 2008, from the bank's perspective. Mm. But there's this one guy on there that just says, am I going to lose my job? And the other guy says, yeah, probably. It's going to suck for a while, but then it's going to be all right.
Yeah.
And that's, that's kind of, so I want to say that sucks. But this is a great opportunity for people to dial in, get out of a stagnant job if you felt that way, and improve yourself and get something better than you've had before. So I'll add that to it.
Let's take some super chats here, and then we'll go to Jordan. Super Shocker, first of all, gifted 5 X1 Bros memberships. Huge shout out to Super Shocker. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. R51 Gamer, welcome to Tier 1 Wingman status. Became a member. Appreciate your support, R51 Gaming. DJ Hero is celebrating Wingman status for 45 months.
Wow.
4 or 5.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, DJ Hero. Yeah. Appreciate that. And PNX World has become a tier 2 all arbiter, right. Tier 2 right. status. Thank you very much, PNX World. Welcome, and thank you very much for the support. And last but not least, Soulfinder has been a member for 20 months at Wingman status. Appreciate all the support. Guys, if you haven't yet, if you'd like to support the show here, if you want to support just normal guys talking about games and hopefully not letting our emotions get the best of us.
No, that's, I think, the problem is when you deal with just sentences on your phone with no real feedback. If you can't have some of the conversations that people are having.
Yeah.
You cannot have that person to person because you can't just turn your phone off and ignore somebody.
No, it's true. In fact, a prime example of this, I work remotely, as do you, Spicy. Mm-hmm. But I work remotely and my team is spread out across the world. We have a few local or few offices, physical offices. And every few months I choose to go in, I travel. I was just there last week. And it's like night and day. Because instead of being in your own head, behind your desk, all alone, in a dark, dank room.
Yeah. Dank is the right word for your office.
You then, you're in person, and it's just completely different. And it just gives you perspective. And I think that's what we lack a lot here is just perspective. It doesn't mean that you don't have the right to feel the way that you have to feel. It doesn't mean you don't have the right to feel anxious or sad or angry at what has happened here.
But you
should have perspective.
It also,
and that's what's lacking.
I know that that's part of it too, but it also allows you to be courteous. Because that's a thing that I think doesn't exist.
Online.
Online. Like being polite and courteous.
Let me tell
you can have. Yeah, it is a very, interesting thing. My brother-in-law, I don't know, he basically promised his kids a great reward if they go till they're 18 without getting on social media.
There's actually big studies on that, and communities and schools and states are starting to get behind laws of social media until at least 13, maybe 16, because the studies are showing, your brain is just not developed. You're like stunting your growth.
Yeah. And he basically says, I either pay a bunch of money in counseling or I just give him the money at the end.
Yeah.
I'd rather have them be happy and healthy for that time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely.
That's part of the why I'm unplugged. It does not like that stuff, that argument and all these people in this glass chamber of just, or echo chamber, I guess is what I'm, they can choose to have their own opinions, which is fine, but then they when anything hits it, they block or whatever. I have too much experience with that. And it makes me sad. So I just don't do it.
Well, I didn't realize this, but because you wouldn't realize this if you were reading Twitter, but Twitter specifically, out of all the people in the world, only 5% of them are on Twitter.
Yep.
And out of that 5%, I mean, even less is just specifically gaming, but it was interesting. I would like to say I was on the front lines.
Jordan was on the front lines
of democracy, fighting against Sony, because we need to let people enlist. You know what I mean? We can't cut funding to the military.
Devil's advocate here, because I honestly didn't really choose a side,
and that's fair enough.
I just wanted to play the game. Yeah. But wouldn't a move like that make it be like a precursor to having Xbox join the democracy?
I don't think so.
You don't think
so? This is where me and David disagree. I think it was... I do agree with what people were saying online. I think it was to bolster PSN numbers.
No. Because it was planned... That would be great if they decided to do it last minute.
That's fair enough. It was planned before and they didn't drop. Yeah. Now, I think the big mistake they made is it should have been dropped at launch and it shouldn't have been sold in the countries that don't have it, right? But I guess now that all the dust is cleared, I guess more people are going to be able to play the game because that policy is being reversed, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, at these times, you don't cut the defense budget. We need those people. I don't think you understand. Those bugs are coming in.
Automatons are just pushing hard. Well,
we need people to enlist.
So Jordan, any closing thoughts? And then since you brought up Hellblade, I do want to talk about community management a little bit because I think there's a weakness there. But any thoughts on what we've been talking about here with the selling of studios?
Well, closing down of studios?
Closing down of studios.
Well, I mean, I don't know. There's a lot to break down there. I mean, I agree with both you guys. I think it was a little bit... I mean, you'd think a month and a half ago, we'd learn the lesson of, hey, these, you know, like, let's not freak out until we know all the information. And I'm talking about the rumors that came out about Starfield no longer being exclusive, all this stuff. And then everything came out, and it was like, oh, shoot, we were all wrong. The same thing happened again. And I mean, like Mark said, it's not, you can sympathize with people that have lost their jobs because that's not fun to go through and hopefully they all land on their feet. But again, there was a massive freak out yesterday about it all revolves around Tango, about Tango. And then we get little trickles of information and it's like, okay, well, things are starting to make a little bit more sense of why things happened. If they didn't do this, would ZeniMax would it have toppled over? Like the CEO said, I think her name was Jill Braff.
Yeah.
Would it have toppled over? That would have been much worse than, you know what I mean? Like, so we talked about this one time. It's really funny how many professionals come out of the woodwork when a decision is made. There's been a ton of professionals.
It's the bricklayers.
Yeah. There's been a ton of professional, you know, and look, I don't think we should sit here and, you know, defend the executives or whatever you want to see it. But just looking at it from a objective standpoint, a decision was made to hopefully better the future of the company.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, like you said, David, can you be sad? Can you be upset with this decision? I'm still a little confused on Tango. You know, we got clarification, but I mean,
and they're done with the game. It's fully released on all platforms now. It's done. They can shuffle.
There's things that just were being said online, and it reminded me of a month ago. Like for example, and I don't know if we're gonna get into this later, but there's now rumors. Alleged rumors because there's alleged talkings at Microsoft, which, hey, I'm sure there is. I'm sure they talk about a crap ton of stuff over there, right? But there is alleged rumors that Game Pass will be increased. So there's a freak out about that. We don't know. Will it be increased? I don't know. Why are we freaking out about it? There's an alleged rumor about Call of Duty not coming to Game Pass, which, to be fair, if Call of Duty doesn't come to Game Pass, I will be very critical of that because I think that is a huge... David and I disagree on this. You can see it in his face. Like, did you see it in his face? We very much disagree on that. And we can get into it later. But, and then another thing is everybody's because everybody's fixated on Tango, everybody's talking about the Japanese market.
Yeah.
And everybody's talking about how Xbox is not doing good in the Japanese market, how this was a foolish, this was a short-sighted decision because they've been trying to get their foot in the door in the Japanese market for years. Tango was their Japanese studio. And I'm just sitting here thinking, well, wait a minute. Xbox is doing fairly decent in the Japanese market. So, going and doing some basic research.
Oh, no, no, that we can't have that here.
Yeah. How many games? Of games from JRPG, so these are Japanese developers that are on Xbox, is incredibly good right now.
Yeah, we have to Xbox
let's talk about some big ones that are already out. You have Persona 3 Reload. Very good.
Right? I love that game.
We have Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. You have Final Fantasy, which was in beta, which is now full release, and we have Dawn Trail coming later.
A Yuden Chronicles, right? 100 Heroes.
Yuden Chronicles 100 Heroes.
On Game Pass.
Grandia HD Collection, Dragon's Dogma 2, Sandland. Another big one that I thought was very fascinating, I think I already said it, Unicorn Overload. This is VanillaWare's... They're a smaller Japanese studio, been around since 2002. This is their very first Xbox game. Who did that, right? The current Xbox team, right? Because this ties into a lot of people want Phil Spencer to be fired as well, because he hasn't done anything. They brought us all these games. Shin Megami Tensei V Vengeance coming out later. Let's go way down the line. You have Octopath Traveler 2 coming out. You have the new MMO Blue Protocol coming out down the road, supposedly coming out this year. All Japanese studios. Sword Art Online, Retype Tactics 1 and 2 Cosmo. All these are Japanese studios that are now on Xbox. And if you look 10 years ago, which would be just after the release of the Xbox One and that whole debacle, you did not have near as many Japanese games on this thing. And another thing to remember, Microsoft is who brought World of Warcraft and Blizzard games back into China. Blizzard lost that. Microsoft brought it back in. I don't know the ins and outs, but looking at all this, I think Microsoft is doing well in the Asian market, and that includes Japan.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting for sure.
Oh, not to mention, just throwing this out there as well, the Xbox Series consoles are doing very well in Japan. The only Xbox console that has outsold the Series X console is the 360.
Yeah,
which was just a dominant of its generation. But anyway, that.
Yeah, no, good point. Yeah, just go look up the list. You can Google it, and you can see all the Japanese games on Xbox Series X, especially or the Xbox Series, this new generation, and Game Pass. Compared to even the Xbox One era, which brings me to a quote, a tweet that kind of illustrates, in my mind, the overreaction sentiment of depression that is this self-fulfilling, like it's self-created almost, I believe, over on Twitter by a lot of these gaming journalists. That's from Jez Gordon, who said that, who I like, Jez Gordon.
Sorry, no, I'm laughing. I just, in chat... Soul Fighter said, "I know people like Japanese games, but I'm a full-blooded American. I buy American."
He said this feels like the lowest point Xbox has ever been at, its lowest point in faith and trust. And I just don't. And I responded to it and I said, "I don't. How do you figure? The Xbox One early days felt like the lowest point. Think about it. Xbox is now." One of the largest publishers in the world. What you just talked about with World of Warcraft in China, how many JRPG games are over on Game Pass. You have Game Pass, and you've got cloud coming, and they're in the thing. And people will call me a shill. I've been accused of being a shill multiple times.
All a shill is someone who disagrees with you. It has no meaning.
I don't think I'm a shill. Do I trend towards the positive? Yeah, I'm a positive guy. I have a positive outlook on stuff. I enjoy gaming. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I give you my honest take. And I am not. Also, go subscribe to my channel. You can see I criticize Xbox all the time, particularly on marketing things and PR things, which I think.
Another thing that came out of the woodwork this week, a lot of professional marketers.
The bricklayers. Yeah,
there are a lot of professional
bricklayers. Which we'll talk about that later. Sorry,
continue. Yeah, anyways, Super Shocker left another super chat, gifted another 5 X1 Bros memberships. Thank you very much. To Super Shocker, appreciate it. Some comments, let's just go read back through comments. David R. said, the drama. Most podcasts are feeding the negativity now. He says, I have unsubscribed from a bunch of podcasts because they keep feeding the drama. Hey, Byron says, yep, social media very unhealthy. Good call out. R51 Gaming says, has it occurred to anyone that they looked into their studios and found out that some were a complete shit show and felt it was best to shut them down?
Well, so didn't Bethesda buy Tango?
Yeah.
Because it was falling apart? And it was financially unstable. This is like 2010.
I don't know about the history, but Bethesda owned Tango before.
I know, but I think they acquired it because it was financially unstable. I can look it up, but I'm pretty sure that was, and maybe that's, I don't know.
PNX World says our economy is in a recession and heading to stagflation. Xbox is going to merge a lot of these studios and cut off the excess fat. He is said they cut one of the Japanese studios because he did think that give them a little more footing.
Yeah,
in Japan. And I don't disagree with that. I think that's correct. So Frank Zagra says indie devs navigate a 250,000 5-year odyssey while AAA studios command 200 million plus budget. Microsoft strategy streamlined for impact, focusing on blockbuster titles. It's a bold play in the economics. Thank you very much for sharing that, Frank. Yeah, I just think. See this discussion,
right, like Mark. This just in. Mark was right.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, it's Wikipedia, so you take that with a grain of salt. Founded in March 2010, this is Tango GameWorks. The company was acquired by ZeniMax Media in October that year after suffering financial issues.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, see, and what's interesting is we're not saying that they're a bad, obviously they're a good development studio. They made Hi-Fi Rush, right? Fantastic. But it's just, it's interesting when you have the facts and perspective of what's going on, how that changes the story, right? Or changes,
Mark Rebel Games says Game Pass will go up in price one day because everything does. Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens all the way around.
I would be critical of that because, I don't know, raising prices right now.
Well, yeah. Well, there's a point. There's when you can do it, and there's a limit to what you can do, and then
Honest, no one likes prices being raised.
Of course.
Do you know how much I spent on hot dogs this week?
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Jordan likes the big wieners.
Yeah, the oversized.
Yeah, girth. Yeah. He goes for girth. Yes,
it's ridiculous.
He goes for girth.
Real quick, though, just in case you guys haven't read, ZeniMax on studio closures. This is reported over at gamesindustry.biz. A ZeniMax executive has reportedly said Xbox closures of 4 studios this week was due to a lack of staff and support. As reported by Bloomberg, head of ZeniMax, Jill Braff, reportedly said during a town hall meeting on Wednesday, it was hard to support the studios globally, quote, with a lean central team and various projects in the work. Here's what she said. I think we were about to topple over, Braff said. Xbox Game Studios head Matt Booty allegedly added that the decision to close the 4 studios was to free up resources elsewhere, according to Bloomberg. And see, as we get out from this and we understand more of, keep in mind, you're in a tough position as executives at the company because there are things that you can say and cannot say. Mm-hmm. But as we get out from this, I think we're going to learn more about this, and a lot of people are going to look like they clearly overreacted.
Well, I think a lot of people already look like they clearly overreacted.
Yeah, for sure. I will say this, though.
Again,
I do think Xbox could handle the outward messaging more.
Oh, yeah.
I think Sony does a good job, a better job of it. And I think the reason things don't spiral in Sony is because I think Xbox community strategy has been we're your friend. And that's not really correct. We're your customer. That's different than we're your friend. But when you have that we're your friend relationship or that feel to you, when you do something that people don't like, it's this extra betrayal. Versus Sony does the exact same thing, and it's like, oh, that sucks.
But you notice whatever. They always do it right after a Microsoft blow up.
Strategy.
But well, it's still like because I think Sony just has a different tone to it when dealing with their customers. And granted, it's a double-edged sword. If you like that like really hands-on feel, it's good. But when things go wrong, there is that extra sense of betrayal there. And I think that's what we're seeing, especially from some of the key opinion leaders who, they go to FanFest, they eat lunch and share pictures with Aaron Greenberg and Phil Spencer and Mikey Barr and whoever else is there. And in the past, Mikey Barr. And so when they do, they're made to feel like, hey, we're on the same side. We're part of the team, guys. We're friends. I know that guy. He's my friend.
I took a picture with Phil Spencer.
And then
he told me I was his friend. No, I'm just kidding.
And then a decision is made like this.
I
think it actually hurts your social media is new for everybody. But I do think Sony and Nintendo have a much more like customer relationship which I think actually is probably more healthy in the 2024 environment.
Yeah.
Now, before you guys yell at me in chat and say, what are you saying that they shouldn't be friends? Well, the job of a customer business relationship is the business offers a service for a value that you, the customer, get out of it. And if they ever offer a service that no longer provides you value as a customer, you leave. It's NBD. And that's why there's no outrage when Ford does something and rearranges divisions or Apple does something, because they have that, they've set that customer tone. Like, we have customers. When you're friends, that doesn't necessarily exist. And so I think Xbox next step, from the outside looking in, I don't know. This is just me.
I think we can all agree that they need to,
from the outside looking in,
get a better.
I think a serious look at your customer interaction philosophy, and they're very good with customer service, I think, for the most part. Like, if something's wrong, I think it's much easier to get taken care of than other places.
Well,
but I think that they've not set proper boundaries. Mental health 101, you set healthy boundaries, and I don't think they have, and especially with key opinion leaders, with journalists. Whereas I think Sony, for instance, has done a much better job of that, and that's why you don't see the freakouts that you see. And that's just me speculating. That's pure speculation.
Well, I do think we can all agree that they can do a lot better at getting ahead of the narrative. So, I mean, they've been bad at this since the 90s.
I also would say I don't want that job, because they...
The job of getting ahead of the narrative?
The job of communicating the decisions from the suits to the community.
The middleman.
The middleman is the sergeant on the field. Like, he's got to take the orders from the general.
From Washington
Yeah, that person, I would not want that job. They obviously can be improved, but how do you tell tough decisions like this? How do you do that with, like, how? I just don't know how you can portray those kinds of decision making.
Well,
with a crying baby, like, that's like, that's social media. They're hysterical. They don't.
Yeah, I think it's setting.
How?
I think you're always going to have that pushback. Sony even had it, like, for instance, with Helldivers.
Yeah, and look, and they made the change and list now.
Yeah, but. What I think Xbox, at least from the outside looking in, and I could be completely wrong and biased here on this, I just think that they've not set those boundaries. And I think, look, at the reason that someone like Tim Dog, that's right, I'm shouting out Tim Dog, who has completely, he was like, oh, Xbox is the best, blah, blah, blah.
And keep now, in mind, over a rumor that ended up not being true.
Over a rumor that ended up not being true, or kind of true, it was halfway true.
And that's not the first time. That's happened many times in the past couple months.
Now he's all in on PlayStation, and his entire feed is PlayStation is the best. Guys, that, while if he's supporting your product and stuff, that's a relationship perhaps that you want to manage it, but I would suggest that you did not create the proper boundaries there. And that boundaries that you should have created was a customer-based boundary. Like, these are customers, these are not friends. Because I think the reason he flipped is he felt betrayed. He had this big ego that he was, and he's a nice guy. Don't anybody go harass him or anything. I'm sure he's a nice guy and just had decided to switch. But I think that could have been prevented with a different customer communication philosophy and more healthy boundaries being set. Again, complete speculation. I don't know anything. This is the outside looking in. Having said that, my job in real life is to be that frontline person. And my team runs that frontline thing. So
I do not envy you.
In fact, my team this week, we did a case study of Helldivers and went over, here's what not to do.
Oh, as that's
community,
fascinating.
As community managers. The community managers have been demoted, have been fired. They, for Helldivers, they threw gasoline on that thing and made it infinitely worse when they did not need to. And let's be honest, that role is kind of the low man on the totem pole. Your job is to interact with the community, take feedback, pass it up. And they
double down.
No, it's not that they double down, because there's
Did you do a case study on the Tarkov community managers?
That's a good one. You should do that one.
Because I think that was the first, like, they didn't just double down. They went all in. Like, they threw all the chips out.
I think their apology that they said was, we're sorry you're upset.
Yeah.
We're sorry you're mad.
I think that's how they ended it.
And that's like the most Russian apology you could ever. Like, that's all. Yeah, wow.
But also, the heat was there and it went. I'd say Tarkov has better boundaries set.
Well, you know how they feel. Right, I'll give them that.
Also, I do think there's a cultural difference. Well,
and I think there, I think
there's like a cultural disconnect. No. Like Russians and Eastern Europeans are just like, just very brash and straightforward and blunt. Blunt is the word.
Because I think there's a cultural difference, and I think there's also a language difference. Because the DLC message in the Discord, like I actually laughed out loud. I don't agree with it at all. I don't agree with what Tarkov did, but I laughed out loud when because he said that it's all around DLC, right? Which it was a DLC. It was a DLC. And the one of the community managers...
Sorry, can you explain for those that don't know
what happened is Tarkov... Tarkov is a pre-release game. It has multiple versions that you can buy. A while back when we jumped into it, most everybody jumped into it, we bought what was called the Edge of Darkness edition. It's called the EOD edition. Yeah. In the EOD edition,
that was the balls.
Top of the line. It was $150. That's what it was, right? You got perks for doing it. Mark has convinced me that those perks, even in the EOD, are pay to win, but
they're definitely paid.
Yeah, because you get more. The way the game works is you get more stash space, which is better, and blah blah blah. Right. So anyway, last year Tarkov says, "Hey, we're." Oh, also in the EOD edition, it said all future DLCs will be available to you for free. Which Mark and I actually had a very decent conversation about that too, about how that's probably like looking back, that's not a sustainable feature.
Correct. Being able to,
because Plex did that too.
Yeah. And keep in mind that EOD was $150.
Right.
Okay. It was big price tag.
So last year they got rid of EOD. They said, hey, EOD no longer here. We'll come out with a different version later. Blah, blah, blah. Months go by, Christmas, whatever. This last, in the last two weeks ago now, a week and a half ago now, they released what's called the Unheard Edition, which is more pay to win than the EOD edition. Because
they got rid of the EOD
edition. EOD edition. And we won't get into it because you'd have to really sit down and explain how it's pay to win with the pockets and the blah. And even EOD is pay to win, but it's less pay to win than Edge of than Unheard Edition. But
yeah, it is.
It's because, look, if you know, you know. All right. That's all right. So anyway, they came out with that. And the big thing is they attached a PvE mode to the Unheard Edition. Which the PvE mode is one of the things that a big chunk of the community has been asking for, because Tarkov is a really fun game and it would be more fun in PvE, and there's actually mods where you can play PvE and it's really fun, blah, 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 right? The Unheard Edition is $250.
That's $250
US dollars. Yeah.
For a game.
That's
a console.
That's not out yet, by the way.
Yeah. It's a beta.
That's a beta. So people were upset. They're like, well, what the heck, man? Why can't you? The main thing is people were like, why are you locking PvE mode behind Unheard Edition when on the EOD edition, which we're your supporters, we're the ones that have been with you forever, it specifically says all future DLC, right? And there's a whole bunch of stuff about how the website was changed and wording and all this stuff. But getting to the community manager...
You should say his response in a Russian accent.
I don't know. Yeah, it's so.
This is not DLC.
Yeah, they basically said.
This is not DLC.
Yeah, they basically said, it doesn't matter if you want it to be. It's not DLC. It's a feature. And they like.
This is a feature.
This is Comrade Velasco.
Velasco. Yeah. This is feature, not DLC.
And everybody was like, no, it's not. It's a DLC, Comrade, right?
Comrade Velasco. This is not DLC.
We are looking for nuclear vessel.
The part that made me laugh is he says, it's not a DLC no matter how much you want it to be. Look, and then after that, everything just blew up, you know, and then you had Gray Zone and Arena Infinite Breakout come out and Tarkov's hurting, right? You know, and all it's crazy drama, right? Now, eventually they did do some back steps and, you know, upgrade and all this stuff, and yeah. But anyway,
my thing, yeah.
Going to your, there was definitely a language and culture barrier there, and after everything was said and done, all the rubble is cleared. They've decided, hey, we're gonna turn back. So they're not gonna. Unheard is still there, but they are gonna make features available to EOD owners. They had to go through a couple iterations of those features before they actually kind of nailed the right one. Because some the first iteration was like, all right, we'll give it to you for 6 months. All right, well, how about that? We'll meet you halfway.
This is very Russian too. People have screenshots of what the website used to say and then what it says now. Yeah. And they were just like, delete, 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 delete. We're good.
Now, well, and then they were like, and then I think didn't they come out originally and say like, oh, we didn't change anything.
Double downing hard.
Yeah, well, they went.
What's funny about all this, and I see Average Gaming Dead in chat talking about it, right when all this is going down, Greyzone was like, okay, let's release ours.
Yeah, which was actually a really smart move for them.
Now that everybody's jumping ship, so Greyzone came out. What's the Infinite Breakout?
Arena Breakout Infinite went into a closed beta this last week.
Which is an exact copy
of
Tarkov. Like, David, it is... an exact copy of Tarkov.
Breakout Infinite?
Different from the stuff that we...
It's called Arena Breakout Infinite. Mm-hmm. It is made by a Chinese developer.
Oh, Tencent. It's copied.
A Chinese company is copying a Russian company.
Yeah.
And it is like funny. An exact copy.
Greyzone, I did watch gameplay of Greyzone, and I was watching Jord the Man here play it. What I like in Greyzone, what I think is fascinating, is no loading screen and they fly you over there.
No, the loading screens are crashes. So keep in mind that every time you want to get on a helicopter,
no loading screen.
It'll crash and then you have to reload the game and then you can get back.
I see. But when it works and you just travel across, there is something to be said about, like, that adds this level of immersion that's very, it's an interesting way to do it. I like it.
No, yeah, we can talk about what we think about those two games forever because we got to play them this weekend. After all the rubble cleared and they said, okay, you know, we're going to keep the Unheard, but we're going to give all the features here. And the dust just kind of settled. They decided to apologize.
We're sorry that you were upset.
Yeah, and that they said, I'm sorry you feel this way. And that has got to be like the most Russian apology.
I've used that before.
I'm sorry you feel that way.
Average Gaming Dad says Arena Breakout actually has Tarkov bosses in their code. That's hilarious.
If Tarkov wants to sue them for copyright infringement, we can see that battle. But
watch this.
I would tend to say that Tencent, who is behind Arena Breakout Infinite, might have a little bit more resources to fight back.
Yeah,
this is going to single-handedly restart the World War, so we're going to have World War 3 over a Tarkov copy.
Everybody, thank you very much for tuning in to us. We do have a members-only show, so for everybody who became a new member...
Is that it for today?
That's it. Actually, while
do
we're...
Do you want to talk about anything else?
No, while we're going out, let me just share this poll that we dropped on our channel here on the community tab over on YouTube, and we asked, with the recent announcement of Xbox closing... and reallocating some of their studios, there's been a lot of emotional heated reaction. Does this break your trust in Xbox? 26% respondents said yes, 53% said no, and 22% said I don't really care. So that's 75% that said no or I don't really care. You guys are awesome. We'll see you in the members show. Thank you for your support. See you guys.